Father God, we thank you for what you're doing, for what you're about to do. We thank you, Father God. We just pray that your Holy Spirit just comes and fills this place. It wasn't here hovering and waiting until we showed up, but when we showed up, the Holy Spirit showed up because we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. So, Father God, we thank you for your precious Spirit in this place. We thank you for your word that is the foundation, the faith foundation of the believer, that, Father, we can get into that word, we believe it, and, Father God, you will move upon it all, every time. So, Father, we thank you for what you're doing right now. So, Father, we give you glory, honor, and praises in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. 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 I think you can say that amen a little bit more with oomph. Amen. Amen. Woo! Are you excited? Are you ready for what is about to take place? I don't mean just right here, but this is all a part of it. But I'm excited about what God is doing all across the country, and we are a part of it. Are you a part of the body of Christ? If you are a part of it. Amen? Amen. I mean, he's just not picking over churches. And I mean, when we receive, believe and receive, it's all about faith. When we believe and receive and take it in and act upon it, there's a big part of it is acting upon it. Well, I want to share with you about this. I'm not going to teach on this, but this is an illustration. I may point at it later on so you have an understanding. We did a study on these are three wills. You have God's will, you have your will, and you have your body's will. What really got me looking at this is I didn't never know my body had a will. But I want to turn to it. It's just so you know. In John, I'm just going to read it. You don't have to turn there. In John, the first chapter, it says, that which were born not of blood nor of the will of the flesh. I said, what? My flesh has a will? Well, I guess I kind of always knew that, but it really struck me. It says, nor of the will of man, but of God. So I started to say, oh, my flesh has a will. And then I said, well, let's start here. We know God's emotions. I'm going to take 5 minutes, and we're going to do a whole complete session in 5 minutes. Ready? Here we go. God's will. We all know God's will. It is very easy to understand. What was in the Garden of Eden before Satan and what wasn't? There was no lack. I mean, Adam had everything. Adam, there was a creative aspect to Adam. He named all the animals, and I believe God expected him to go beyond that. And part of that is a blessing. I'll get to that later. Another aspect to understand the full will of God, the perfect will of God, what's in heaven and what's not. God's not going to live in something that's not within his will. I mean, we think sometimes money is a big issue, but God lives where streets are paved with gold, so money's no issue. Everything's provided. There's no sickness in heaven. Amen? There's no hospitals in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, you ain't getting older in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. There's one lady there. Woo! That's what I like to hear. So God put his will within the word. The word is a key. There's something we need to get about this word. That's going to come. Now, your will is you were placed here on earth as a free moral agent. You're not a robot. God dictates what you do. You have a choice. But he said in Deuteronomy, I set before you this day between life and death, blessing and cursing. He says, but he loves you so much. He says, choose life so that you and your seed shall live. So God had given you the ability to choose. Now this right here is where Satan attacks. He tries to put those thoughts. He tries to tempt you so you will make the wrong choice. But now that's just your mind and your emotions. Your mind, you think, your emotions. And a lot of times our mind and our emotions will sink down to our body. And it'll affect our body. But now within your will, you have a spirit, the red part. Your spirit is what is connected to God. If we would line up our will, the choices, to our spirit, it connected to the word, to God, our body would also follow suit. How does healing work? I make a choice to believe in God, to believe in the healing power of God. Then the body follows. Now, a lot of times we are praying all our prayers from this aspect, and I'm going to share with this today. The flesh. We want to feel something because your body wants to feel it, wants to taste it, wants to see it, wants to hear. That's who your body is. It is a feely, touchy type of thing. And a lot of times your flesh desires. It's the thing that wants the things that maybe, I mean, the Bible says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So how do we get this to line up with this? Well, we make a choice. Faith is a choice. Amen? Faith is a decision. It says, renew your mind by the washing of the word, renewing your mind by the word of God. So the word must be very important to us. So that was my 5-minute teaching on what this is. I'm done with that. We may touch on that. I'm going to show you later on what things impact my next 5-minute session. Love and a blessing. How many know God is love? Amen. How many know that God doesn't love you with an unconditional love? Did you know that? God does not love you with an unconditional love. No. Unconditional love was based on a condition. Jesus loved you with an unconditional love. He came and gave his life for you because of that love. He didn't care what you did. He didn't care what happened. He came and gave his life for you based on the condition of sin. No other man could have bore that price. We're getting to the Easter season. No other man could have paid that price, but he himself stretched his arms all across as far as they went, and they pierced those hands because of love. A great act of love. One of those great acts of love is when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, just so stressed out that he is sweating drips of blood. And then he comes to the place where he says, not my will be done, Father, but your will. That was a great act of love. He could have said, I can't take it. I'm heading for the hills, God. No, he said, that's it. I made my decision. Not my will be done, but your will. How many are glad that he made that choice? Yes. That choice of love. Such a great act of love. And when you start to study and understand love that God, I didn't finish the unconditional love. Jesus loves you with an unconditional love, but God loves you with an absolute love. There's something I just learned in the past few months. A lot of times we don't know what that word absolute means, but there are thermal scientists that they study. There's a word called absolute zero. What's that mean? That means you could be out on the coldest day in Napanee in record history. The coldest day in Napanee. It could have been 40 below. I don't know how, that's pretty cold. But still, there's signs of heat in the atmosphere. You could go to the coldest place on the earth, and there's still signs of heat in the atmosphere. So scientists started to get a hold of this, and they tried to get to absolute zero. In other words, coldness with no signs of heat. They got as far as 427 minus Fahrenheit. That's cold. They said strange things happen around that. When they put a vapor inside a cup, a container, when it gets close to absolute zero, it says that vape, that container cannot contain that vapor, that it seeps out the pores. See, God loves you with an absolute love. Nothing missing, nothing broken type of love. No interference, not based on a condition. He sent his son Jesus here based on a condition, but God loves you with an absolute love. You can't run away from the love of God. Amen? Oh, I started to look and I started to get into the scriptures. And we have friends that are chaplains in the Kingston Penitentiary. And these people, man, I've seen this character I'm going to share in just a moment. I've seen them all over those chaplains. And it's Ananias. I remember that Paul was blinded. Now he's crying out, the Bible says. He's got scales over his eyes, it says. And Ananias is praying, and then God says, go pray for Saul. And then Ananias says, man, isn't he the guy that's killing Christians? And you want me to go pray for him? He's okay, God. All right, I will, but I don't know where he is, so I'm sorry, I can't do it. God tells him he's on the street called Straight. Oh, God. Act of love. I listen, obey, and I do. He went out. He prayed for Saul. I mean, man, everybody else would have ran the other way. But Ananias, the Bible doesn't even give a whole understanding of who he is, but here he's this man with this little part of the Bible, this little section of the Bible. God talks to him, he listens, he obeys, and he steps out in love, and he goes in and prays for the convicted killer, the one who's killing Christians. Sees beyond what he has done, seen beyond anything, he goes out on one word of God. And we know who Saul became. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament and has given us so much revelation and understanding. But because of Ananias, listened and obeyed and did not judge. I mean, he did at the moment, but he said, okay, God, because I want to obey you, your will be done, not my will be done. I'm going to go do it. Changed Saul's life, turned him into Paul. Man became a trailblazer. A history maker, a world shaker. Amen? Amen. That's my second 5-minute teaching, probably a little bit more. How long do I have? I'm going to try to get to this as fast as I can. I get excited about what I'm about to say to you. Something happened to me in the last week. I got revelation. A lot of times we can read a scripture, and man, I mean, something happens, it just pops in your head, and you get revelation. Something happens on the inside of you, and you become something different. God does something. Amen? Now, remember, I said a lot of our prayers are based in the flesh. We want God to move. We struggle with God. We ask God. But I want to bring to you today that more important is our spirit. If we recognize that every prayer should be in the spirit, not praying in tongues, I mean, based on the spirit, that's who you are. I just did a funeral just this past week, and I said, you know, this person's body is still here. This body is what you would say dead, but her spirit is still alive and well in heaven. That's who you are. You are a spirit with a body. You're not a body with a spirit. You are a spirit with a body. If God is spirit, and those that want to worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is a spirit. He said he created you in his likeness and in his image. So in Genesis, it says that he created he them, male and female. Chapter 1. And then in chapter 2, he goes and he creates the body. Then breathes the created being, spirit, into the body. You are a spirit. Amen? So this is key, because when you understand you are a spirit, I would want to connect more with life that will make my earth suit live. Okay. Amen. Turn with me to John chapter, I believe it's in 14. John chapter 14, verse 19. We're going to read some scriptures in a few areas of John, and you're going to see a theme come from these four sections of scriptures. Then I'm going to share how this impacted my life, and it frees you. There's no more struggle. There's no more strife. I'm not trying to get a feeling, hooked on a feeling, right? We don't sing that in church. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Let's just sing that song together. Everybody stand to your feet. Oh, what a feeling. I forget the rest of the song. I make fun of it all the time. Seeing is believing. Right now, I'm just kidding. I got a hold of you. Anyway, I'm teasing. Anyway, we're not hooked on a feeling. Feelings come because it impacts the body. But you need to understand, every prayer needs to be sought out, seen by the Spirit. Amen? I'll share that in a minute. Let's go on. Here it is in John chapter 14, verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. How many know that people think you're crazy? People on the outside think you are crazy. Going to church, I don't see no God. What is this all about? All right, let's go on. Yet a little while, he said a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, yet ye shall live also. And in that day ye shall know that I am the Father in ye. Listen, and ye in me, and I in you. Okay? Okay. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is, and he that is loveth me, and he that loveth me shall love the Father, and I love him, and I will, what? Manifest myself. How many know every time you hear the word manifest, it usually come down here in the flesh? When God manifests himself, manifests some type of healing, it will impact the body, but it comes this way. So if you are in prayer, I mean with God, it will manifest in the flesh. Manifestations, signs, wonders, miracles are a part of the flesh. This is what we see, this is what we hear, this is what we feel. The move of the Spirit, or as Creflo Dollar says, the Spirit. We got to get the Spirit. Amen? You can laugh, it's all right. Chapter 15, John chapter 15. I'm taking time, let's go. John chapter 15, it says, abide in me, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. Oh, I see a theme already. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Where does that impact? Well, if he is in you, you are in him, and it brings much fruit, we are talking about the flesh again. A manifestation. So let's go on. So he says, for without me you can do nothing. How many know that for sure? I can't do anything. Man, I've tried, I've struggled, and this is where people get frustrated, and man, God, where are you when I need you? But we're all praying from the flesh, struggling in the flesh. Let's go on. If ye abide in me, in my words, verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, and ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Let's turn to chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 21. John chapter 17, verse 21, and he says, that they all may be one as thou, Father, this is Jesus talking, art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou hast given to me I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. That the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved them as thou hast sent me. Father, I will that they whom thou hast given to me be... I'm getting tongue-tied now. Be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory that thou hast given to me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Verse 22, that the glory which I thou givest thee, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I, Jesus, in you. Listen, Jesus in you, and the Father in Jesus, that they may be made perfect, that we may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that, listen, did you see some type of theme between those scriptures. Jesus is speaking and he says, I in you, Father, but you are in me. But he goes a step further. We are in them. I said, man. Okay, well, we know the scripture. We have understanding that says, I'm just going to read some scriptures now. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which now I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians chapter 1, it says in verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God, Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all. Everybody say all. All spiritual blessings in heaven places. In what? In Christ. In him. In Jesus. According as he hath chosen us in him. Oh, he's talking about being in him now. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In him. Before him in love. Is there somebody bigger than me in here? I'm just... All right, come. Come, brother. Come, brother. As they say in Africa, come, brother. A man of the spirit. Stand here. Now, I used him at home too. He's a little bit bigger than me. It's I don't know what it is. He's younger than me, but I'm older, and he's still bigger. Anyway, this is Jesus, okay? This isn't really Jesus. This is Tim, but he's playing the role of Jesus. Now, Jesus is happy. Anyway, I'm them. I'm me. I'm Murray. Now I'm going to share some scriptures really quick, and I'm going to paraphrase these scriptures because I believe God's going to do something in this place. Now Jesus, he paid a price so that we can be joint heirs, Romans chapter 8. We can be joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Amen? In other words, if you know what a joint heir is, it's whatever he has, now he gives to me. Then he say, have the faith of God, right? He says, have righteousness. Okay, if I have it, I take it, I have it. Now, I can't get that far yet. He has given us all that. So the scriptures here is talking about in him. Remember, it says that in him all things are old things are passed away and all things become new. In him, in Christ Jesus. Remember, Tim's playing Jesus. So what does that mean? That means he gives me the ability, I'm going to share this in a moment, just follow for a second, the ability to step over in him. Now, when the enemy comes, who does the enemy see? Jesus. When the sickness, the disease, the problem comes, who do they see? Where am I? I'm in him. Who? I don't see myself anymore in the mirror. I start to see who I am in him. Amen? He's got it. He's got to spit it. Amen. Thank you. Here's what I'm trying to say with that illustration. There comes a time when you have to change identity. Amen? Some people will say, I was reading this in a book, and this is what really opened my eyes. A lot of times you will say, hi, how are you? And then somebody will say, I'm sick. Well, you're really not the sick. That's what the devil uses to attack your body. You are really not that thing that is attacking your body. You are not cancer. You are not diabetes. You are not these things. You are not that. But we identify with that and we apply it. I am sick. The other one he used in his book, he says, a lot of people will come up and say, I'm divorced. Well, you're not really divorced. Divorce is what happened. God can heal that. God can heal cancer. Huh. So I stopped identifying myself with the problem, with the situation, and I started to see myself in Him. Amen? I started to see myself, old things are passed away and all things become new, because I received Him into my spirit. I received Him on one day in my life where I knew I could not do it by myself. I knew that this was the good thing to do. This was where I was supposed to be. I came, walked up to the altar. I said, Lord Jesus, take me. I receive You into my heart. I forgive me of my sin. I want to serve You. And at that moment, I stepped over from out of me into Him. Old things are passed away, and all things become new in Him. I change my identity. I don't see that handsome face in the mirror. I still do. No one else sees me. I'm just in there by myself. Hey. But something started to happen. Something started to happen when I started to identify myself in Him. I started to go through the scriptures. Well, I didn't go through this. I started to go through the scriptures, but then it got too long, too hard. So I looked up on the internet and I found somebody that already got the scriptures together, and I stole them. Somebody did the work. Thank you, brother. But listen to these. I can't read. The scriptures are very, some of them are long, but I paraphrased them. I read through them and I said, man, I paraphrased them. I'm going to say the scripture. If you're writing down notes or if we're listening to this, you can look it up, read out the whole scripture. But listen, and I may get excited by the end of this. I hope you do too. Romans 3:24 is, I'm just paraphrasing, in Him I am upright and right standing with God. In Him I am redeemed. He says, I've come redeemed you, so have redemption. So if you will take redemption, I took redemption because He paid to redeem me. Now I am redeemed in Him. Amen, Pastor Murray. That sounds good. Yeah. Let's go on. Romans 6:11, in Him I am dead to sin, but alive to God. That sounds better. Romans 8:1, in Him there is no condemnation. Romans 8:2, in Him I am free from the law of sin and death. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, in Him we have wisdom, righteousness, consecration, and redemption. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, in Him I am triumphant. Galatians 3:28 says, in Him there is no distinction. We are all one. Galatians 5:6 says, in Him faith is activated, energized, expressed through love. Galatians 6:15 says, in Him I am a new creation. It says in Ephesians 1:3, in Him I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1:4 says, in Him I was chosen before the foundation of the world, blameless above reproach through love. In Ephesians 2:6, it says, in Him God has raised me up to sit together with Him in heavenly places. Oh, my word. I mean, I don't know if you know you have authority or not, but how many know where Jesus is this very moment? He's here by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, but He's not physically in you. He's here by the Spirit. Where is Jesus physically seated? At the right hand of the Father. How many know what that position means? That position at the right hand of the King, at the right hand of any person, is a position of authority. So if I read this scripture, and man, did I ever get blessed. I got this little trailer in the back of my house. It's an industrial trailer. We got it all fixed up. Half of it is the studio. Half of it's computers for all this stuff. And I walk back and forth just, and I said, Father God, Lord, I thank You for those open doors. I said, Father God, I feel like this tiger that's locked up and I'm just ready to get out. And I'm praying. I'm saying, thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You. And then I start to go in Him and I start to read these words. And it says, in Him, it says, that in Him, We were raised to sit with him in heavenly places. So if I am in him, I have that same authority to do his will on this earth. The same authority. There are people that are crying out. There are people that need a healing. There are people that lives are falling apart, and you have this authority to use in their life. Can you see it? I'm just not here by myself. Oh, help me. Oh, help me. Oh, give me. No, I step over to in him, and then I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. In him, Philippians 4, in him I have strength for all things. In him I am empowered, Philippians 4:19. In him God will meet my every need. In him, in 2 Timothy 1:9, in him I have unmerited favor. 2 Timothy 2:1, in him I have inward strength. Oh, I'm going to skip that one for a moment. In him, Acts 17:28, in him we live, we move, we have our being. 2 Corinthians 1:20, in him the promises of God are yes and amen. A lot of times we hear preachers go, hey, and the promises of God are yes and amen. But we leave out those two little words all the time, because the scripture says the promises of God in him are yes and in him are amen. So I start, I'm praying these scriptures. I say, thank you, Lord, Father God, because in you, Lord God, I am triumphant. And when I know who God is, when I know who Jesus is, I start to say, in you, I am victorious. Oh, thank you, Father God, because in you, I have unmerited favor. In you, Father God, in you, Lord Jesus, I can do all things. And I start to lose my identity of somebody who is struggling, who is barely getting by, who is just, and I put myself over into in him. Change my identity. Oh. In him. Listen, we all pray for revival. And I'm telling you that we need to focus on, when you pray, you're praying from the Spirit. Not that's good. I mean, when you don't know what to pray, pray in the Spirit in other tongues. But I'm praying from the aspect of the Spirit. Whatever is born of flesh is flesh. I have traits from my father and my mother. I have traits, you may see. And my son, just the other night, they said, you know, Silas has your nose, that type of thing. My children have traits from me and Tracy, because they are born of the flesh. But when we get in him, you will understand what is born of the Spirit is spirit. You are a spirit. And whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. When you start to pray from that aspect, man, drawing nigh is not me struggling in prayer. Oh, God, help me. Oh, Lord, I'm trying to draw near, and I'm trying to get a feeling with my flesh. But now I step over to in him, that I can go and get into the scripture. And in 1 Corinthians 15:22, in him I am alive. So I'm not praying for revival anymore. Because revival, we would pray for revival from this aspect. Oh, Lord God, just draw me close. Just draw. Oh, I need you. But now, if I pray from the Spirit, understanding that, hey, I am a spirit, and that if I draw closer to the Spirit of God, something will happen. Turn back to John with me. John, how does that happen, Pastor Murray? How does that happen? John chapter 14. I will share with you. I will make it easy for you. In him, I am alive. I don't know about you, but I'm not dead. I'm not a zombie. I'm there walking to church today. Hallelujah. I'm not a zombie. I'm not the living dead. In him, I am alive. What are we trying to do when we are praying for revival? We are trying to revive something that's dead. Amen? in him you are alive. Another scripture says, in him you have life. So if we are basing all our prayers and understanding that in him I am alive, in him, I mean, I make that choice. This is what I'm going to believe. This is where I'm going to see myself. I am alive in the spirit. And because I'm grabbing from the word, which I'm going to show you in just a second, it will impact my body. Oh. Oh, how do we do that? I just told you, but let's look at the scripture. John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, he shall bear much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Verse 7, here's how it happens. If ye abide in me, in my words, In my words. I'm going to give you an illustration I just heard. Kenneth Copeland, I was listening to a CD. He said he was praying, that he was in this convention. He was doing a 21-day meeting. He was preaching for 21 days on going straight, 21 days. And he was talking, he says, and by the end of the day, he had this little pain in his leg. Just a little pain, like it was a bite. But it's just a little pain. And he says, man, he says, throughout that 21 days, he says, it's like I battled every demon on earth. It's like every demon came through that meeting. He says, I was like sick 5 times and overcame it by the word. But he says, by the end, I had this little pain. He just kind of shook it off. He said the right thing. Father God, I thank you for your healing. Lord, I am healed in Jesus' name. And he went on. And then he had to go to Shreveport, across the country. So he got in his car and he started to drive. And that pain got worse. It started to sink down from his leg to his knee, and all of a sudden it started to swell up. He says, man, he said, that thing hurt. It was starting to pain. It was a gnawing pain. But he got to Shreveport, and as he was driving, he heard God say, you need to get into my word. He says, God, I'll do it when I get there. He's driving. He heard it again. You need to get into my word. He's driving. He says, God, I'm getting it. I will do it when I get there. And a third time, he heard it again. He says, God told him, you need to get into my word. He says, God, I will do it when I get there. I'm trying to get there, and I'll do it. And he says, after a while, the voice of the Lord will soften. Because you're in disobedience. You don't want to listen. So he got to that next meeting. And he says, next thing you know, that thing went down beyond his leg to his calf. To the place where his calf started to swell up so much he could barely get his pants on. He says he would walk in excruciating pain. But then when he got to preach, he got to into the word under the anointing, that pain would go away. He says, oh, I got it. And he would start preaching. He would go on. And after the service, he would be going out. And then all of a sudden, that pain just come right back. He's, oh, Father God, I thank you, Lord. I am healed in Jesus' name. He would start saying, oh, Father God, I thank you, Lord, that I'm healed in Jesus' name. And he would start saying it. He would say all the right things, he said. After a while, this thing sank down to his ankle. And after those meetings, he flew home, and his parents picked him up. And he always talks about his mom, and I like that because he always says his little Cherokee mom. And he says, he just says, just drive me to your house. I don't want to go all the way home. He says, just drive me. So he just said, walked in. He says, the only time, except for when he was younger, that he screamed out in pain was when that thing happened. But he would be saying, thank you, Jesus. I'm healed. So when he got there, he just went to sleep. He was just out, shivering and sweating, just passed out because of the pain. And all of a sudden, he said he woke up. It's just something in him. God just rose up in him, and he knew what he needed to do. He got up. He says glory was right beside him, sitting there in the middle of the night, reading scriptures, healing scriptures over him. And he says, And he says, when he woke up, he just got, he said he shot right up, just sat up in his bed. And his little mom was, he said, just in the corner praying, and he says, as soon as he sat right up, she says, that's it, it's finished. And she got up and left. I like that. He says, I was saying all the right things, but my prayer wasn't being answered because I didn't have the word in me. You say, Kenneth Copeland didn't have, he didn't have his well, his reservoir filled up. He was giving and giving and giving. See, this word isn't just a Sunday thing. If your prayer isn't being answered, if you're praying something and it's not being answered, get into the word. Fill yourself up. I've started to see a difference. More than before. More than before. Without this on the inside, we have no fuel for faith. He says, I was saying all the right things, but that was in Kenneth Copeland's traditional religious. We get so traditional that we just say all the right things, but we don't get into the word. I don't got time for the word. I got to watch Jeopardy. All of a sudden, your life's in jeopardy. You're saying, where is God? And he's speaking to you. I think you need to get into the word. You're studying financial freedom, and you don't know why, because you got a good job. But hey, God's building you up, maybe to speak to somebody else. Maybe you're speaking or studying healing for some reason, and you're not sick, but maybe God is building you up to speak to somebody else. That word is so important. So when I got into the place of in him, I am triumphant. My chest got a little bit bigger. In him, old things are passed away. All things become new. In him, faith is energized. In him, I'm a new creation. In him, I can do all things. All the promises in God are in him. Yes, in him, and yes, amen. In him, I started to see myself change my identity so that now I'm not so focused on the problem, that when I get into the word, I know I will overcome, because in him, I become triumphant. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm just getting a little bit excited, because I started to say, well, if I'm in him, and I started to understand that, hey, he is Jesus Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing. So then if I step over to in him, I'm in that anointing where we are struggling all the time. Lord, give me the anointing. Well, if you would just step over, believe and receive and act upon it, something great will happen. Amen. Amen. Something great will happen. God didn't put you on this earth to see what you're going to do. If you're just going to say, hey, I'll just put you on this earth for 54 years, 74 years. I'll put you on this earth just so you can mess up and die. He said, I have put you on this earth so you can transform yourself, step over to in me and become alive. I don't know about you, but I get excited. Because I know that my faith has an adversary. I know there's an opposition to my mission. But I know that if I'm in him, he doesn't see me no more. He sees this big, huge, Jesus standing there saying, ha, 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 I beat you once. Why even try, devil? Why even try? Why even try? Is this helping a little bit? Are you receiving some type of understanding that, hey, this is all a faith act? See, a lot of people can start to say these words, in him I am triumphant, in him I am this, I am that, in him I am overcomer, in him I am. But if you don't act upon it, I mean, you may have a sickness. You say, in him you will provide all my needs. And we know that if I need healing, he will provide that need for me, that my God shall supply all your needs according to your riches and glory. He is your healer. He said, and I shall take you out of the house of bondage. You are not in bondage no longer if you become to the understanding you can be in him. Amen? Amen. 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 Man, I was praying this. I'm going to end just a few minutes. I was praying this. It's in him, Lord God, I am triumphant. In him. And man, I always wanted, but for some reason, I just felt weird to dance. I said, in him, yeah, in him. Oh, I probably look crazy. That's just how I see people. But in him, I said, man, in him. It started to sink in. It started to become real. But it says, hey, I'm not triumphant. If you go out in any sport, man, you see people jumping around. Yeah, ooh, yeah. I mean, they're putting all everything into who their team is. But I want to tell you that if we put all our who we are in everything into who our Savior is, lives will change. Situations will change. Things, outcomes, outlooks. Man, things will line up that I don't base my prayer in the flesh no longer. I am a spirit, and what is born of the spirit will receive. Faith is a choice. We receive. We are blessed. I tell you, if you knew what the blessing was, you wouldn't just throw around that word no longer. Achoo, bless you. Come on. The firstborn ran for the blessing. The first thing God did to Adam was blessed him. And then when the flood came, the first thing God started all over again. The first thing he did with Noah was he blessed him. Simeon looked and he searched for Jesus. And finally, when he saw Jesus, he blessed him. What was the blessing on Adam? Be fruitful and multiply, replenish, subdue, and have dominion. Oh, there's so much I want to share. So much I want to share. If we get into the love aspect, man, the absolute love of God, I mean, we just won't say, man, I love cheesecake. We just belittle love. I tell Tracy every day on purpose, and I mean it. I find some type of spot throughout the day, and we have our ups and downs. We're not perfect. Him and Alicia saw that. We're not perfect, but I find one place a day I will say to her, I love your macaroni salad. No. No. See how we belittle the word love? God is love. But I look at her and I say, I love you. I love you. One, I mean, just not a, hey babe, I love you. Or just, you know, just, no. I'll stand there and I'll say, I love you. I'll give it my all. I love you. And when we understand the blessing, we just won't belittle the word blessing. But I go to everybody now, and I understand what the blessing is, and I say, man, God bless you. I bless you in Jesus' name. You say, well, how can you do that? I mean, somebody may be hurting your family, talking about you, and you bless him. Well, what are you doing when you bless him? You are speaking God's intended purpose on their life. You're not stepping over into the curse, and saying, man, I don't know who you are, and start belittling people and calling them down because you have just stepped out of the hedge of protection into the curse. I want to be in the blessing and bless people. Love people. Something's happening. Love people. Love people. The blessing. And in him you are blessed. In him you are highly favored. In him you can do all things. Amen? Amen. I don't know about you, but man, I found my dance. I got my dance on. Nobody was around. I was in my little trailer. And man, it just hit me. And I just started to, woo. I ain't going to show you, but until I'm ready. I say, God, okay, you can open the curtains. But there's something happens when you get beyond excited. And you know, first off, revelation, the light of revelation comes. And the veil of not understanding falls. And you start to see who you are, who God created you to be, who Jesus paid the price for you to be. That's what it's all about. Jesus paid that price. And if we don't step up to the plate, we're saying, Jesus, that price, that full price, well, it's not good enough for me. Think about that. When the Easter season comes, did Jesus pay that full price for me? Am I going to receive it? Am I going to step into it? Am I going to overcome all things?
Till every drop is gone, I'll pull my